Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I know it was just a week ago that I was giving you my parting words. It is man who proposes and God who disposes. The scripture says that we should be ready to preach, proclaim the word of God in season and out of season. And so today I'm out of season, replacing someone who couldn't be here. Probably my greatest weakness in my 25 years of ministry is my inability to say no. It probably has been my undoing, if not yet, will be. Today our gospel lesson is the same in which we preached on this past Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. And it's interesting how they select these lessons. The context of this particular gospel is where Jesus had just read from the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." And then he says, "At your hearing, these words are fulfilled." It's interesting about the reaction. Jesus talks about Elijah and Elisha, the stories you can read more about in 1 and 2 Kings. Why? Why was there such a reaction, a hostility towards Jesus Christ at these words? As we read them, we can't see that much to be upset about, at least at first glance. But we have to understand that Jesus was getting very personable. Very personal in his words. He was talking about the Jews. He was talking about their families and their forefathers. And he was comparing the present-day Jews that were sitting there listening to him with their forefathers. Now, for those of you who are married, you may have some experience with this, and those of you who are planning to get married someday, I hope that you learn from today's lesson that when you talk to your wife in a discussion, you do not compare her to her mother in words such as this: "Oh, you're just like your mother." Believe me, things go downhill from there. They're words to fight by. You're picking on the family. You're insinuating that they're less than what they should be. And that's what's happening here. Jesus is talking to the Jews right where it counts. He's talking about their family, and he's talking about them. And it comes as a warning to them. You see, they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son?" They understood that the man before them was Joseph's son. But they had not come to faith yet, for it is by faith that we say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He goes on and talks about, in Elisha's time, how there was a great famine. 3.5 years it didn't rain. But Elijah goes to this lady and says, "Make me some bread." She only had enough for maybe a day for her and her son. Yet at the hearing of the word of the prophet and obedience to him, she probably decided, "What's one more day of life? I eat today or eat tomorrow. I die today, die tomorrow. What's one more day?" But she listened to the word of the prophet and fed the prophet. And the flour and the oil remained for 3.5 years. She could not see by her eyes, but by faith, in believing and acting in accordance with the word of God, became greatly blessed and received life. It happened also to Elijah's follower who came after him, Elisha. Elisha, too, was rejected by the people and had problems preaching the word of God because people didn't hear the word with their hearts and with faith. And there was a man by the name of Naaman who came to be healed of leprosy because he heard there was a great prophet there in Israel. Of course, Naaman, though, when Elisha explained to him, "Well, just go down and wash yourself seven times in the Jordan River, you'll be healed." And Naaman said, I came all the way here to take a bath? I mean, we got better rivers back where I come from, back in Syria. What is this? But because of the encouragement of his servant, with doubt in his mind, but nevertheless, with perhaps a little faith, because he obeyed the words, he went and washed himself and became clean and was given new life. Words in our time really mean nothing. Now, the words that were sung at the halftime of the Super Bowl, I didn't hear what the words said. Not until I listened to Rush Limbaugh. Words mean nothing. They're not really that important. There's a sign on a door that goes into my chapel. It says, when the door is closed, a service is in progress. The door is always closed. There's all kinds of signs that we see that we don't pay attention to, or we don't really understand the meaning. And we hear words, but we don't believe them. They make no difference in our life. And often the liturgy is like that too. Sometimes the words of the liturgy are just like the words of a prophet. They go unheard and unbelieved. But we need to know more about the liturgy than, oh, it's just a quotation from the Bible. We need to know more than when they were inserted into the liturgy. We need to know why they are there. What is the theology and what are they telling us about? And if one would study and look, meditate upon what is going on, not just the words, but the very action and gestures that accompany the liturgy are telling us this: Emmanuel, God is with us. The incarnate Christ is with us. If he was not here, there would be no need to reverence the altar. If he was not here, we could have a basketball game. But we act according to what we believe. We have heard the word of God, and he has promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. The words that we hear have meaning. The words we sing, we have meaning. And if we come here and mouth words thoughtlessly, perhaps we've missed their meaning. There are many who attend a sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and they hear the words, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood. But they may as well push Christ over the precipice, off the edge of the mountain. They shove him away because they hear the words, but they see bread and wine. It is only by faith that we see the body and blood of Christ. Today, at the hearing of these words, take, eat, this is my body. Take, eat, take, drink, this is my blood. At your hearing, these words are fulfilled. Today, this slab of stone, which we call an altar, is indeed the footstool of Christ. It's even more. It is the throne where the right hand of God is to be found, where the Lamb who was slain, as talked about in Revelation, is sitting. And in a moment, he will stand and distribute to you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. May our words, our actions, our deed reflect what we believe, so that we may welcome not just the son of Joseph, but the very Son of God incarnate who is here for us. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.